Wait a minute. Only my wife can call me anata. Seriously. So never anata to a senior person or a stranger. That's not very polite. Okay? So politeness is very important in Japanese culture. Everything is almost everything's related to politeness. So, and then, so you have to ask me, right? Everyone, sensei wa? How about you? But not you, anata wa. Sensei wa, please remember. And in English, you say Mr. and Miss or Ms. or Mrs., you know, for your teacher, right? Which is translated as san in Japanese. And very often, not my students, students from other institutions call me Ota-san. Well, that's not polite enough, you know? So please do not call your teachers in any field if he or she is Japanese. Never san, please. San is a regular Mr., Ms. or Mrs. or whatever, okay? So when you deal with politicians, lawyers, medical doctors, university professors, school teachers, always sensei. Hi, everyone. Sensei. And I have to say that once a teacher, always a teacher. So even if the teacher becomes, say, 90 years old, and you become like 60, you still call him or her as sensei. Never, never first name in Japanese. Okay? So, as I say, once a teacher, always a teacher. So, when I turn into like 100, and then you see me somewhere, you still have to call me sensei. Okay? I'm not kidding. So, okay. Hi. Zuibun suzushiku narimashita ne. Come on. Zuibun suzushiku narimashita ne. You didn't understand what I said, right? But someone already said, this is the first lesson for this course. Everyone, so desu ne. Meaning, you actually agree. You give agreement to what I said. And whenever you hear ne at the end, I always give this lesson on the first day. That means this person is asking for agreement. And people are usually very, very reasonable when they ask for agreement. So, well, the first survival skill is to give agreement. Everyone, again, zuibun suzushiku narimashita ne.
そうですね。
Yes, that's right. I agree with you. I would say that more than 80% of the conversation, Japanese conversation, starts with agreement asking and agreement giving. So, ne at the end is a key. Even if you don't understand anything what this person, anything that this person is talking about. If you say, so desu ne, fine. Okay? And then later you will understand what, I said, I'm sure. So, but when you hear at the end, 日本語は難しいですか? When you hear ka, it's a question marker. That means you have to answer the question. So you have to know, what the question is asking for. Okay? And, when you hear yo at the end, 日本語は難しいですよ? That's assertion. I'm okay. Then you respond by saying, そうですか? Everyone, 日本語は難しいですよ?
そうですか?
Meaning, oh, is that right? Okay, so basically, is that so? Say, you are safe there too. So, only when you have ka, you have to answer questions. Did you get it? So, the first survival lesson here. So, ne. Speech act is asking for agreement. So you give agreement. And I had a, this is an anecdote I give every year. When I was teaching and studying at Michigan State before I came to York University, I was, one day, I thought it was cold. Okay? So in English, I asked the one of the professors, it's really cold today, isn't it? And the response I got was, no, I don't think so. I was shocked. I was really shocked. But if that had been done in Japanese, I would have said, yeah, kind of. Even if I didn't think it was that cold. It's not lying. It's politeness. It's politeness. But in English, it doesn't work. Because she took it as a real question. And I said it for politeness purpose. Just as an opener of conversation. So, now you can see cross-cultural differences here. And one time, Professor Jirino Stupani, who was the chair of the Japanese department at Monash University in Australia, Melbourne, where I taught for 3 years, long time ago. I was very young. He was the one who said, foreign language learning is cross-cultural communication. I totally agree with him. When you learn a language like Japanese, you have to know why you have to say certain things, why you don't say certain things. You have to know the reasons. And when you learn any language, that is a major issue. Yesterday, one of my second-year students said to me at the end of the class, after the class was over, he came over, very good student, serious, good student, very helpful. He said, well, I'm sorry in Japanese, okay? Domo sumimasen. In the etiquette, session, you learned this. Huh? What do you mean, sumimasen? Well, what I wanted to say was, well, I'm sorry for what's happening in Japan. Ah, I understand now. But sumimasen is used only for personal apology. You cannot use sumimasen for, I'm sorry for what happened in Japan in that situation at all. Again, cross-cultural misunderstanding. Okay. So these examples, I'm sure, can show you how important cross-cultural communication is. So in this Japanese program, I would talk a lot in my lectures, especially I would talk a lot about cross-cultural differences, including body language, nonverbal communication. And I'm sure some of your professors, all of them, I'm sure, when they greeted, like, Ohayo gozaimasu, and then bowing, okay, are not too deeply in normal situation. But, again, bowing is very important for greetings, right? And when you're sitting, you really can't bow that deeply. So you actually just nod a little bit, you know? That would be good. That would be helpful. Okay. So these sort of nonverbal communication, actually sort of behavior is very, very important. And today, in the third year class, I asked everyone to introduce himself or herself, right? One guy came, just like came here, and he was, Ohayou gozaimasu, putting his hand in his pocket. So I said, well, that's not very polite in public. Oh, okay. And then he did this. I'm sure he was nervous, okay? This is a sign of being nervous. I know that. But then, that's not very polite either. It's, oh, okay, sumimasen. Okay, so you can learn a lot about nonverbal communication too, especially when you talk to someone. In English, I guess you look at each other's eyes, right, very often. But in Japanese, if you sort of staring at someone's eyes, people say, what's wrong with this person? So what are we supposed to do here, right? So, well, my suggestion is to probably you can sort of shift your eye contact. Sometimes you look into the other person's eyes, but then you shift down to, say, around the mouth. But don't go down too far. That would be a problem too. So, you know, it is very difficult, and there's no strict rule or anything. But there are some guidelines which you're going to learn in this course. And, before, only two... Hi, okay. Could you just come here forward? Yabuki-sensei too. I'd like to introduce the faculty members of the Japanese section who are involved in this Japanese 1000. Okay. Yabuki-sensei, maybe you can... Hi.
皆さん、おはようございます。矢吹です。はじめまして。どうぞよろしく。いいですね。皆さん、いい学生ですね。
あ、はい。そう、矢吹先生
とは。よろしくお願いします。
矢吹先生。Okay, so whenever you see her, please say...おはようございます。こんにちは。こんばんは。おやすみなさい。And not さようなら。Remember? Hi everyone. 失礼します。Good. Okay. Good.
Yeah. I'll be teaching tutorial 5 and 6, I believe.
Okay. はい。犬塚
先生。すみません。皆さんおはようございます。今日はちょっと寒いですね。じゃあ皆さん日本語頑張りましょう。I'm teaching tutorial 1, 2, 3, and 7. はい。はい、そうです。よろしくお願いします。
You shouldn't forget about you, right? はい、どうもありがとうございます。Everyone, 犬塚先生。This is a good sort of a name for practicing phonology, you know? 犬塚先生。Difficult name to remember. はい、どうぞ。はい。
皆さんこんにちは。富田です。皆さんおはようございます。失礼しました。富田です。よろしくお願いします。I'll be teaching tutorials 10 and 11. So, yeah.
富田先生。Her name is Tommy means rich.That means rice field. My name is Ota. Big, fat, rich rice field. So you know our origins, right? Obviously, agrarian societies, right? So farmers, probably. But Inusuka-sensei, the name is a very old name. And Inu means dog. Suka means a sort of a monument for dogs. So it's a very interesting name and old name.So I would suspect that her ancestors were samurai. Hi, どうもありがとう。Okay, and Yabuki-sensei is also, Yabuki-sensei's name is old name too. And how do we translate your name? Okay, maybe Ya means, okay, arrow. Okay, Buki means to actually, to blow.So it's a very old name, probably samurai clan's name. Ota, I know my ancestors are farmers. Especially my grandfather's. My grandmother's side and my mother's side come from samurai families. So different names. But, どうもありがとうございます。You can leave if you want. If you want to stay, go ahead. Okay. Hi. So, in this course, First of all, this is our website, and buna.arts.yokyu.ca. You don't have to add Japanese because it takes you to Japanese. And please be, you know, remember this URL. And I change sort of modify website very often, and you can find some interesting, this one, German actually cite YouTube about Fukushima nuclear power plants. In German, but Japanese actually translation as well, so I just put it. It's up-to-date information you can find. And please just visit these sites sometimes. Our students' achievement, York students have been winning top prizes in the past speech contests, Ontario national ones. I still think we are probably, our students won a lot more prizes than any other university's students. So you are in a very popular Japanese program in Canada, and considered, I'm doing this, as one of the top programs in Canada. That means we are demanding, very demanding. And I'd like to sort of talk about the program a little bit. If you click on here, you have course description. I'm not going in there. You can read it. As I already talked about the sort of essence of language learning being cross-cultural communication. Okay. And you know that we actually do not have any textbook. I abolished textbooks. I think maybe about 25 years ago. I've been teaching here for 27 years. Can you believe that? Well, there are several reasons. And I just want to sort of talk about this very quickly because you may wonder why we're not using textbook. I actually sort of gave presentations on this approach at different places, different conferences. I don't believe in using textbook for language learning and teaching. In second language acquisition, we've known about this for a long time. But unfortunately, most language professionals are still using textbooks. Well, anyone can teach any language with a textbook, as long as he or she can speak the language, right? And the students are happy, too, because you know exactly what to study. Or from lesson one to lesson five, then you can get good marks on the test. This course doesn't run like that. I adopted modular approach. It's not just me. I learned this from this Professor Nustapany at Monash University in Melbourne in 1976 when I was invited there. And I totally agree with him. How it works is very simple. We have a module for structures, module for reading, module for writing, module for speaking, module for listening comprehension. Then I would have cross-cultural communication module as well. And these module system is very important because it's not only for language learning. You can talk about modular approach in various other disciplines as well. They are supposed to enhance each other. Synergistic effects, synergy exists. So we create each module, of course, interrelated, interconnected. Simply speaking, we are talking about quantum leap. So 2 plus 2 becomes not just 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, if possible. Our brain functions that way. Otherwise, you would never, never master any language. Our brains are, multitaskers. They're good at multitasking. So linear learning would not fit for language acquisition. That's the main reason why we have this kind of materials here. And everything is available on the website. And I wrote almost everything, and other professors added quite a few things as well. So we are sort of trying to improve the materials all the time. And when you use a textbook, for example, if I find a mistake in the textbook, how long do you think it would take for the publisher to correct the mistakes? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? I wouldn't like that. On the web, I can do it in 2 seconds. And I'm running my own servers. So these materials are on my personal servers in my office. not even using York servers. I set up my servers and I write everything. And that way I can take care of copyright issue. Everything is mine. So I can post it on the web. And anyone can use my materials. That's my approach. Free. No password. As a result, I get a lot of thanks messages from all over the world. There was a woman in Mumbai who was studying Japanese 2 years ago. She was preparing for the language proficiency test. And thank you very much for posting all these materials on the web. And she says, well, what we get in India is a copy of a copy. So they don't have a lot of authentic material, but I do. And it's amazing. People studying Japanese in Japan are accessing to my website. So I get a lot of thanks messages. So, and also, video recording, now it's being recorded, is available for everyone. So you can actually study Japanese on your own. But then you say, then why do we have to come to the class? Well, in the classroom situation, I like you to participate in active communicative situation in Japanese. You can't do that online. So in each tutorial, we expect you to engage yourself in active communication because time is limited. We have only 4 contact hours, including one lecture, this lecture. Only 3 hours? Not good enough, right? So what I've done is to develop self-study materials. See, in Canada, you study only for 6 months. September, October, November, December is off, right? January, February, and March. April, exams. You only study for 6 months. This is a systemic problem with Canadian education. So in most language courses, even if students study, say, Japanese for 4 years, their level, the end result, is usually like advanced beginners or maybe basic intermediate level. That's not good for anything. You can't function in Japanese that way. So I've been really sort of suffering from this systemic problem. And I was for a long time. And then finally I said, well, what can I do? Okay. Developing self-study materials. So when you go to I'll show some of them later. You have a lot of self-study materials for every level. And that way, after you finish first year, during the summer, you can review all the lectures and self-study materials and study ahead. You prepare for the second year level. That way, we can actually overcome a huge gap between the first year level and second year level and the second year and the third year. Because many students complain, oh, there's a huge gap. Yes. Otherwise, we would end up being exactly the same situation as other universities' programs. So I would expect our students by the end of the third year to be able to read newspapers with the help of dictionary, carry on sophisticated daily conversation, and they can write some very short essays. They can present materials with the PowerPoint, in Japanese, of course. Okay, so that level I'm targeting by the end of the third year. Then we send you guys to Japan on our exchange programs. I've been hosting the Japanese language proficiency test at York University in Toronto. You don't have to go anywhere. And so you can write the test. So everything is here at York University. And you'll be very happy to see that because we have so many students who are learning Japanese. We have excellent professors here. And all kinds of cultural activities going on downtown area, or at York University, or U of T. And the test at York, speech contest, and we have summer internship program, Mitsui Canada sponsors. So there are lots of opportunities. JET program is available. Lots of our graduates are working in Japan. And also, many of our graduates, actually six or seven of them, invited me for lunch this summer when I was there. So there are a lot of opportunities. But I would say that you're majoring in something, and if you have good competence or good ability or proficiency in Japanese, that would be really helpful. And when I went to Japan, I found out that, for example, Japanese companies hiring a lot of foreigners. Do you know why? Say Chinese. Lots of Chinese workers are working for Japanese companies. Well, because many Japanese people are not very communicative in foreign languages, right? So they actually hire Chinese students or young people and let them negotiate with the Chinese in mainland China or other places. So that's been happening all over. There, you have to be able to speak Japanese very well. Then you can find a job. I was really surprised to see so many of them. So the future of Japan is really questionable because of 3.11. But your future with the Japanese language, I think, looks pretty good still. And please stick to the program and bear with us and with the program, because we are demanding, very demanding. But for your own sake, it would be easy for us to give and sort of Mickey Mouse type of courses. Oh, you can have A pluses, no problem. You may be happy, but probably you won't learn anything. But in this course, you will learn a lot. Okay? And so the one of the best comments we receive about the course is, oh, I don't have to spend $150 on textbooks. True. You only paid $10. Okay, that's it. And you don't have to buy anything. You just print out if you need. Or if you have a tablet or laptop, you can always access to the materials. And the test will be done online. And one thing I just want to make sure is that everyone has to have York University email address. So far, I incorporated Google or whatever you actually put preferred email addresses, but very soon I'm going to switch to all York University email addresses for especially the test and listserv. Okay, everyone, well, except few, I guess. Some of your email addresses are not working though, because I receive error coming back. Okay, so make sure that your account is activated, please. And also, since I may forget this. How many of you have not signed up for this course yet? Raise your hand. Do you have any? No? None? Oh, we have quite a few. Okay. I will allow you to, or encourage you to, attend the tutorial of your choice and the lecture. Don't miss a lecture or tutorial, please. Attendance counts quite a lot. And talk to your instructor explain the situation. Okay? And when the manual enrollment system starts, we might be able to put you in there. Very, very likely we can. And those who recently found out some conflicts with other courses and want to switch tutorials, how many of you? One, two, oh, quite a few. Okay. That's going to be a problem, because I like to sort of see how many students are in each tutorial, and because we can't add more than 30
I mean, that's a sort of a maximum number. And if like five students want to get into a tutorial which already has 30, I can't do that. So one thing I'd like you to ask is that if it is possible, please stay in your tutorial. Just because, okay, I have a class right after my tutorial, right before. In that situation, okay, we stop teaching at, say, 9:20. Okay, we don't go over as the previous class did. So we would give you enough time to run to your next class. So please stay in the same tutorials. But if you have physical, conflicts, meaning real conflicts, then you have to talk to your instructor, and then we might be able to switch you to another tutorial. But it'll be good to have options. Not, okay, I can only attend this one. That may not work. If you don't want to come to 9:30 class, okay, it's too bad, because I have 8:30 class today, so. Okay? So, and also, attendance I mentioned, so I'm going to talk about attendance too. So basically it's important. But not attendance only, active participation. I'll talk about the grading later, but 10% is allocated for active participation and attendance. Okay, let's just look at the pace and coverage. We're going to have one lesson per week regularly, except for the first introductory lessons. We just put them together because we don't have time. And you're going to learn two basic syllabaries, kana systems, and 10 or 120 kanji. And here I put, when you finish this course, what can we do? You can function in a daily conversational situation. Greetings, giving and receiving instructions, eating, drinking, shopping, hobbies, talking about hobbies, and you can talk about your studies or holidays, etc. And understand a very simple TV program, maybe sitcoms. Okay? And read and write basic Japanese sentences with limited knowledge of kanji. That's a sort of end result of this course, which is not too bad. And we get, I'm inviting probably a couple of Japanese students, exchange students here, into this lecture. And whenever they come, they are so impressed with your performance. Especially, 今日は寒いですね! And you say, wow, I can speak like that. Well, the reason is, when you say, そうですね, you know exactly what you're doing with feelings, right? You're agreeing with me. So your intonation is perfect, very authentic. That's what I'm looking for. Okay? With feeling, I call it empathy. Language learning is almost like acting. So you can act out with the appropriate intonation with feelings. Otherwise, you don't sound authentic. For example, ohayou gozaimasu is the regular intonation pattern. But no one says that in daily conversation. We say, everyone, ohayou gozaimasu. And then do this, right? Konbanwa. So intonation pattern changes. And again, this is also anecdote every year I use. I learned this from my son. Because in English, in Japan, our English teachers never taught us empathy or intonation patterns. So we learn, what are you doing? In Japanese, 何をしていますか? Well, that's the only one way of saying that, right? Oh, sorry, what are you looking at? Okay, so what are you looking at? 何を見ていますか? And, 何をしていますか is okay too, but one time I used this to a stranger. What are you looking at? With that intonation, because I was annoyed. Because the guy who stopped next to me at the intersection was staring at me. So I said, okay. I had wanted to use this at least once in real conversation. So I said, what are you looking at? And he looked so scared. Well, this is a free country. I can look at whatever I want. And then he took off. You know, so I said, okay, I felt so good. It worked. So I learned this from my sons who are in the sort of juvenile delinquent period. And what are you looking at? You know, so I said, oh, okay, this is good. But empathy, I had exactly the right feeling there, right? So that's a good example for empathy. Okay. Now, I talked, okay, you're going to have, oops, I have to change this, 3 tests. Sorry. I changed them, I modified. You're lucky this year. You're going to have 3 written tests rather than 4. I don't know whether you're lucky or not, though. Because each test covers more lessons. Okay? Well, the reason is that somehow contact hours have been shortened. So that's why I didn't change this. I completely forgot about this. And 3 oral assignments. These are skits. So usually 3 members. Okay, every time you have to change partners, you have to write your own skits. You have to act out with good pronunciation, good structures, good expression. So I'd like you to create very similar, you know, like real situations, so that in the future, when you are involved in the same situation, oh, I've done this. I can speak in Japanese, right? And that's what I'm looking for, what we're looking for. And that's how I learned English in Japan. I never studied English in Canada or in the United States. Many students are very lucky these days. They can study. But in Japan, what they did was I had several units of dialogue. Okay, I can talk about my family, my study, my work, part-time jobs, my interest. So when I was invited to American family's home, I did it fine. But I ran out of my topics. That was tough. But this is a good way of building up your conversational ability. So, small unit. Okay, start with greetings, self-introduction, talking about your what you're studying, about your hobbies, sports or whatever, right? And then you can talk about your family, talk about York University, talk about Toronto, talk about Canada, talk about whatever. Then more sophisticated topics later on. But at this level, that will do. And another example of my former student, French-Canadian priest in Japan. When I was 26, he was in my hospital class. He could not study Japanese, learn Japanese, no matter how he tried, how hard he tried. So what I did was, okay, during the summer break, travel all over Japan. So I prepared him. So self-introduction. Okay? And his name was Charles M. Bolduc. Difficult name for Japanese. So I said, okay, shorten it. M-san. M. And at that time on TV, everyone saw the ad for Emeron shampoo. So, in the class, we practice, as we do in our in tutorial. Okay, 私はエメロンシャンプーのエメです。I'm Eme of Emeron shampoo. Everyone remembered his name, right? This guy was good, though. He's now the top bishop level in Japan, northern part of Japan. He's still in Japan. So what he did was he took regular trains and traveled all over Japan. Why? Because local school children get on the train and get off right away, right? In and out, in and out. So whoever he met, oh, konnichiwa, 私はエメロンシャンプーのエメです。ああ、エメさん。He did that probably thousands of times. When he came back in September, guess what? He was so fluent in Japanese. Because repetition, right? And you can do the same thing with the different people. You can do that same thing with the same people, but with so many different people. I really admired him. That's what you can do. So, have different units. Okay? This is for, okay, that's why we are having these skits. So, stick to possible situations, please. Okay? You will enjoy this, I'm sure. And no makeup, unless when you're sick, we need the doctor's paper. Death in the family, ministers or whoever can issue some letter or whatever. We need that. Then we will give you makeup, quizzes or tests. No late assignments. Very strict rules. When we are dealing with 300 students, we can't make exceptions. So please understand me. So make sure that you submit assignments on time. And this is only one lecture on Thursday. I talk about structures, cross-cultural communication, all the other issues here. But you'll actually put your knowledge into practice in tutorials. And you have to attend both lectures and tutorials. Every year, I get students, oh, I thought that I should attend only lectures. Please, you know, attend tutorials. So I just want to make sure. And we have only 4 hours, and the schedules, vary according to the tutorials. But I'm not going over this, but basically, I have some suggestions here. Basically, just study with your friends. Get to know your friends, classmates. And one good thing about Japanese program is you find your best friends. Could be lifelong. I get that feedback from our students every year. Well, that's why I don't want to miss Japanese class, because I have my best friends in my class. That's a good strategy. And study together. Ask questions. Practice speaking with each other. That'll be helpful. And then we have, lecture notes. You can, warning, sanction. I have to go over here. You have to have B, expected grade, to move to the second year level. But C is acceptable. And if you miss three classes consecutively without any explanation proper, you'll receive a warning from me or your instructor, okay? And you may be advised to drop the course. In class policies, no abuse, verbal, physical, whatever, please. And political correctness is very important. I would not do witch hunting, okay? But please, no racial slurs or anything like that, please. And private talks in class, in Japan, it's terrible. In a huge lecture hall, people in the back are just talking, shh, 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 all the time. And so, excuse me? You know, so please don't do that. Cellular phones. I would not ask you to turn them off, but can you just put into silent mode? That'd be great. And no eating in class. Drinking is okay. I'm not talking of beer or alcohol, okay? Soft drink or water, right? And consultation, each teacher has office hours listed here. So please visit office hours. And some of us, including myself, I have e-office hours. So you can actually click on the link, then you'll see me, and I'll see you if you're using camera. Video conferences. Okay, at least I have 1 hour per week. So if you have a very short question, do that. Okay? And I'm going to add link to that. Okay, then you can read this anyway. So last date to enroll without permission of a course instructors, September 20th. But after this, we may not accept students because we're far ahead. And if students miss too much, then we can't really accept. So this is a sort of deadline. After this, you may not be able to get in. And this one is okay. Don't get confused about these deadlines and also getting money back. I think the deadlines are different. So even if you drop the course at the before the deadline, you may not be able to get the refund. So make sure that you check that. And if you're not doing very well, and you find out that I'm not going to get a good grade, then drop deadline. It's February the 10th. I hope you won't, but you may have to. And the language study, I think I talked about a lot of things, and important thing is, I highlighted here, I like you to be a sort of independent learner, not to rely on your instructors or materials. You communicate with other people, and you study, and we help you. We're helping in helping professor, okay? That's the best way. So learn to say things in your own way, and what you're saying with what purpose is very important. Why am I saying this? For what purpose? And steady accumulation, of course, not necessarily linear, but please, study with your friend. That's important. And extracurricular activity. Oops. Jeez, I'm running time here. We have a students club called JISA, Japanese International Students Association of York, and we have Ontario Japanese Speech Contest you'll be eligible for, and we'll give you an announcement later. And the first prize winners will be able to attend, participate in the National Speech Contest. And as I said, probably it's too premature for you, but I've been hosting the Japanese language proficiency test for 13 years at York University. You don't have to go anywhere. So if you want to try, you can try the lowest level, N5. If you click on this, you can find the site. And scholarships available, exchange programs with these universities, and the JET program in the future. Before you graduate, you can do that. And summer internship is available, and job opportunities are still pretty good. And we're going to use Multimedia Language Center, South 117 Ross, for tests mainly. But you can go there to study online materials. And you are on all these email lists. So you're on. If you're not, we'll add. And then the last and least important thing, grading. Our grading system is different from the York universities. There are reasons for that. I don't think York system is very fair because the mid-range is quite wide. But I see sort of quality difference. Suppose you want to improve your grade from 53 to 55. Probably that's easier than 83 to 85. There's a quality difference there. Right? You agree? So ours is, six digits difference. And slightly higher percentage. But middle range, about the same as the York University. The reason is 10% is allocated for encouragement factor, attendance, active participation. So if you did attend the class 100% and then actively participate in the activities, you get 10%. That's why your academic standing is, say, 75, you get almost 85 as a result. So I don't want to hear any complaints about this. I think we're very fair. Okay? And we don't round up numbers. So 70.99% is still C. So we do not round up. Okay? Please remember this. Okay, I think I went over. I'd like to I was going to talk about other things today, but I'll do that next time. Please look at chart here about your courses and everything. And then evaluation, that's the last thing. We have tests 50%, oral assignments and performance 25%, and the quizzes and assignments 15%. When you submit an assignment, you get 5% automatically. to actually help you with your grades. Okay? And class attendance participate 10%. Okay, that's all for today. じゃあ、さようなら。What is it? はい、じゃあまた来週。